You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Pilgrim on the 405, we have today with us one of the great advisors as part of the advisory team for Gonzales CPA Advisory Program, Abner Aponte. And Abner's absolute expertise is in helping businesses to find the best possible health care for their employees while living within the constraints of being a profitable business. So welcome, Abner.
Thank you.
So tell us, Abner, how did you come to have this passion for health care for businesses in Southern California?
Well, I started in 1994 working for a small health insurance company called Healthcare AVP Vision Plans and DentiCare, which later was purchased by HealthNet, and then worked for them for about 10 years. And I worked typically with brokers and agents and consultants to deliver health insurance solutions to employers, small and large employers. And I just loved it. I loved what I did. I enjoyed it. I had fun. And then in 2005, I took the opportunity to do it for myself as a broker and agent. And now I'm a consultant.
So. Well, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in working with you is that you always seem to be having fun. So talk to us a little bit about why, for you, working with small businesses, medium-sized businesses, especially in healthcare, is fun.
It's fun because every business is unique. Every business is different. They all have a specialty. And what I mean by that is the demographics of every employer or business can differ by, you know, white collar, blue collar, male, female, age. What we're seeing right now is very unique in the simple fact that you have a lot of millennials in the workforce and Generation X in the workforce. So there's a change right now happening right in front of us. And so they're more techie. They like things done quickly. They don't want to wait, and they want it to make sense. And that's where we come in, and we do those things for businesses. And then there's, the old traditional business owners that still do it the old school, paper, and they like paper, and we'll do it that way as well. But we're seeing it right in front of our own eyes. The change is happening in front of us. So
what do you see as the challenge for business owners today in Southern California with regard to health care?
Well, what I always tell employers is, you know, having a good health insurance broker or consultant look at your employee benefits is like having a good attorney or a mechanic. You need to have somebody that specializes in that area, and you need to be able to trust them and take their advice and look at everything. Don't just take the first thing that comes to the door. The most expensive plan is not always the solution. Sure, we want to, you know, help our employees to be made whole. What I mean that is, they don't want to have financial hardship because they don't have the right health plan, and then they have to use their credit card to go get a physical and get in debt. So what we do is we just feel like, you know, it's important that a business owner will sit down with us and give us the time. Nobody has time anymore. It's a matter of making it. So we find what works for them, and we sit down and we just say, hey, look, we appreciate your time, and we will make it as simple as possible, and however you want to do it, we'll listen to that. You know?
So is the Affordable Care Act, is that helping businesses in Southern California to move forward to providing these health care services, or is it getting in the way?
I think it's been a little bit of both, Will. I think that some employers are very confused. Some employers are just overwhelmed with the mandate. Mostly the ones that are 50 employees and over. Those are the ones that have had to really scramble to offer health insurance for the first time or to readjust their health insurance benefits for their employees. So there is some confusion. I think they're being misinformed. A lot of brokers and agents out there, unfortunately, got in the business in the past 5 years. The Affordable Care Act came into play in March of 2010. It was signed into law by Obama. And since then, you've seen the market grow. We've had probably about 15,000 to 20,000 new brokers and agents get into the marketplace since then. So they're overwhelmed with telemarketing. They're overwhelmed with people sending them mailers. Are you compliant with the ACA? Are you doing this? And then you have the payroll companies out there that are also, you know, asking them, you know, large payroll companies asking them, hey, are you ACA compliant? You know, we have a solution for you for $8 per employee, $9 per employee. We'll do it for you. In the same way we do your W-2s, we'll take care of your Affordable Care Act and we'll charge you $9 an employee. So there's a lot of employers that are being taken advantage of. They don't see the small fees when they're charged out of their bank accounts by these payroll companies. So we come in there and we try to provide them a solution, and we're transparent. We show them, hey, this is the cost. This is what you're getting. This is how it will work. And we'll slowly transition them into that.
And so what I hear is that business people need to have a team of folks. I mean, you mentioned legal advice, healthcare program advice, and that's one of the things we're doing at Gonzales CPA in the advisory program is putting together a group of about 12 different advisors to work through over a six-month period of time these various issues that will either constrain a company or will help them to move forward. How do you see that helping businesses?
That's huge. The advisory board, I think, is a brilliant idea. For several reasons. You have professionals in each category, and it's a one solution for a business owner. He can come to the advisory board and have everybody he needs right there at his hands. You know, he can just sit there and look at his benefits, at the same time have an attorney review it, because we'll have an attorney on the advisory board, and then have a CPA make sure that he's compliant with taxes and things like that. But what we don't do is, as a benefits advisor, we don't do any legal stuff. We simply do benefits, health insurance, and I find that to be one of our strengths, where you're seeing other companies, payroll companies in specific, getting into the business. A lot of people are getting into the benefits business. You'll have workers' comp, general liability, PNC, property casualty, brokerages getting into the benefits business. Well, we stick just with benefits. That's what we do. And I think the advisory board will be an asset to a business owner. It's going to be amazing to see that happen, Will.
So who should be talking to you?
I think the business owner himself. Typically, an owner of a company is running things. He's busy. He may have a key person that he'll, delegate the information to or connect me with. It can be his controller. It can be his CFO or his human resource director. Those are the people that typically we work with. And there are some current clients that I work with that I do strictly deal with the business owner himself. But typically they'll delegate, they'll go ahead and let us work with their HR team, with implementation and their CFO.
Well, all right. So what size businesses do you focus on?
Our sweet spot, I would say 20 to 50. That's really our sweet spot.
Is that employees or
employees? Yeah, 20 to 50 employees is really our sweet spot. What I mean by that is we really do a phenomenal job for all businesses, but the primary bulk of our business is done in that area, 20 to 50 employees. We have grown tremendously, probably about a 200% growth rate since 2010, and so we've worked with a lot of employers that are now over 100, even over 500 employees, in six different states. So, yeah.
All right. Now, when should a business owner or an HR person pick up the phone and call you?
I tell you when they shouldn't. They shouldn't call me 30 days before open enrollment. Mm-hmm. Please, if you want me to do a phenomenal job, I would suggest they call us mid-year.
Okay.
At least 3 months, minimum 3 months prior to your open enrollment renewal period would be the best time to contact me. The health insurance companies, all the major carriers in the marketplace like Blue Cross and HealthNet and Aetna and United and all the Kaiser, typically release renewals and open enrollment rates about 60 days prior. But we have a 90-60-30-day rule in our business. We like to see the employer and work with the employer 90 days out. 60 days out, we're looking at the renewal rates that the carrier released. And 30 days out, we're implementing the open enrollment and discussing the new plans or changes with the employees. So we're proactive, not reactive. And I like the employers that are very proactive. They help us do a good job.
All right, so that's who they shouldn't be calling you 30 days before. They should be calling you earlier.
Yes.
When, what is it that a person would be feeling that you would encourage them to call you?
If they're feeling overwhelmed with the administration, oh, we are terminating these people, or we hired some employees, but my broker or my benefits guy never got me a new hire kit, or this employee was canceled 3 months ago but he's still on my invoice. They don't have time to audit their bills. They don't have time to sit there and babysit when somebody has been taken off of their plan when they were requested to do that. So we suggest, or we always want to hear from somebody that's overwhelmed in the human resource department. Typically, businesses under 50 don't have the financial resources to hire a full-time human resource person. So we come in as an asset, an extension to the human resource department. We consider ourselves the human resource department for those small businesses. And it's a big value to them because they don't have to hire an employee for $50,000-$60,000 a year to administer, you know, terminations and new hire packets and getting somebody enrolled in their vision plan, or I lost my vision card, I need to go get one. We're a big asset when it comes to that.
Now, for an initial consultation, is there a cost for that?
That's a great question, Will. There's been many times where I've met with employers or business owners, and they say, how much do I owe you, Abner? And I say, it's no charge. It's free. My consulting services to sit down with you initially will cost you nothing. I would love to come out, look at everything you have, sit down with you, and you will not get a bill for that. But as we dig into it, there are some fees involved, and we work with the employer on that. So,
all right. So you're not a free consultant in that you're not giving plans away for free.
No, sir.
But when you come in, I presume you're going to be asking a lot of questions.
Yes, I will be.
And now, would you say that some of those questions might make that business owner a little uncomfortable?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, it kind of holds them accountable, if you will. Mm-hmm. People don't always know what they have. If they're running a business, sometimes the business owner doesn't have time to sit down and babysit, you know, 40 people in the shop, you know, things like that. So
now, what I have discovered in working with businesses over the last 4 or 5 years is that while a founder of a company and maybe even a very, very creative visionary for a company can manage 4 or 5 employees. As that company grows, it becomes much more complex. Mm. And if that business owner has not done a great job of elevating people to places of responsibility, then they still carry the burden.
That's correct.
And as the company grows, that marketplace is going to become even more complicated. And where maybe healthcare benefits were much simpler 15, 20 years ago, just take a look at the Affordable Care Act. That pushes up the complexity. And so that business owner is faced with all these decisions that they're really not equipped to make.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. You hit the nail on the head. And we work with some of the most amazing business owners and CEOs in Orange County and LA County. And there's one in specific I think of when you say that to me. He's done a phenomenal job with delegating and elevating his staff. And as a result, it's allowed him to be a very efficient in offering all of the mandated requirements and compliance with the Affordable Care Act. And his company has gone from 50 employees to 700 employees. And he's current a client of ours. And he's an amazing man and very, very brilliant when it comes to delegating and elevating his team around him. They are assets to him.
And those team become responsible, not just message carriers.
Yes. They make the decision.
They make the decision. They certainly are in touch. They keep the circles connected in their regular meetings, but they are actually making decisions. They're becoming experts in their field.
Yes, they are. Absolutely, Will.
And it seems to me that what we're doing is we are helping these businesses that are between 12 and 250 employees. We're helping them to make that transition from what I call an owner-centric business.
Yes.
Where the owner is for any number of reasons, a lack of belief that I can afford it, belief that my people aren't capable of it, or maybe it's just ego, need for control. But all of these reasons come together and wind up with a huge burden on that employer and that business owner. And they wind up working an enormous number of hours.
Absolutely.
And I think what people like you and I can do is to help them in specific ways. Number one, to find folks who will teach their people how to take responsibility, and then also to give them the operating system for their business that's going to take that burden away.
Absolutely. Well, we provide Fortune 500 solutions to small businesses. The same way that Apple's doing things, we do that for small companies. Technology, any kind of resource that might be available to a large Fortune 500 company, we make it available to a small business owner.
And as we do that, it seems to me that what we are really doing is releasing a tremendous amount of productivity for the business, which means that business can grow dramatically, maybe even doubling their revenue in 12, 24, 36 months.
Absolutely.
Which provides an enormous amount of resources for county, city, schools. It's amazing what we can do.
Yeah, it's a chain reaction, Will. It's really amazing to see the fruit of our labor, and it's really amazing to see it.
And so, in a sense, what happens is as we begin to think about adding jobs, adding productivity, strengthening business, that's not something that we have to look to Washington for.
No, sir.
We look at each other in the eye and say, this is how we're going to help companies in Orange County thrive.
That's correct. That's correct. We're the ones in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, great. Stick around we'll take a little break here and hear from some of our sponsors and come back and talk a little bit more about how businesses in Southern California thrive.
Thanks, Will.
Hi. It's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Traditional sales training teaches techniques on how to eliminate stalls and objections. Some are fancy sales moves, while others are programmed responses. Sales is a conversation, and I don't know how you can memorize every possible response for every sales situation. Also, the prospect has usually heard these responses before and has been turned off by some fancy sales move. When you really think about it, the only person qualified to address the stall or objection is the prospect. Ask the right questions, and you will eliminate stalls and objections. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
Well, welcome back. We are speaking with Abner Aponte, an expert in helping companies to build their healthcare benefits program for their employees. So, Abner, let's talk a little bit more about what you see in businesses in Southern California. What are the constraints that you see?
I think businesses are looking for a simple solution. and people are confusing them. And what I mean by people, it can be their, you know, their workers' comp broker, all of a sudden getting into the business, or it can be a telemarketer calling them saying, hey, we can help you, or it can be their payroll vendor calling them, they can help you. But I think they need a good benefits advisor. I think the market is ripe right now for having businesses connect with a benefits advisor that will do a phenomenal job for them. We need more. We need more, you know, people that do what I do at the level that we do it. And it's unfortunate. I've heard nightmares, but it's unfortunate that the market is lacking that.
All right. Now, when you're in working with business owners or with people responsible for HR or specifically healthcare benefits, you become aware of other issues in the business, right?
Yes.
So what are the constraints that you see? What are the areas that people might want to take a look at?
Well, I see that if they don't offer health insurance, we get connected with the company, we find that the employees have been waiting for it. They don't necessarily always go to their human resource department and tell them everything that they feel, but what we do is we work directly with the employer and then we work with the employees. So we find a need. We find that employees are very eager to work for their company when the company offers them health insurance or offer them a great dental plan or a vision plan. So, you know, there can be loose ends if an employer does offer health insurance. Many employees that may not be aware that it is even offered. They had no clue that the company offered health insurance. It could be that the employer has what they call a carved out health plan, only offered to their management, only offered to their senior executives. But the workforce is left in the dark. There's no health insurance being offered to them. That is a big no-no because that's not compliant. So we see a lot of that.
You see a lot of carved out programs.
Yeah, there's a lot of carved out.
And those are illegal.
Those are, I would say they're not compliant.
Tell me what the difference is.
I don't really know because I'm not an attorney what legal parts of that may not be illegal, maybe illegal, mm-hmm. but I do know it's not compliant. I do know the Department of Labor does not like that. Mm-hmm. I do know that you can be fined for not being transparent with everybody, for not notifying all your employees. You can be penalized. There are penalties for not informing all employees. It's considered discrimination. If you offer your senior management a specific plan and you pay more for them than you pay for your employee or your workforce, that's discrimination. So we find a lot of employers that we connect with that are not in compliance when offering benefits.
Hmm. Well, now what we have a really tight labor market right now, right?
Yes, sir.
And how does health care and benefits like that figure into recruitment?
It's huge. To recruit and retain the best talent in this market, in this growing economy right now, you got to have a great benefits package. It's just your competitors are doing it. So it's better to connect with a benefits advisor that will show you the best way to do it financially if you don't already do it, or if you do it, have the best benefits advisor look at what you're doing to see if they can do it more efficiently. But your competitors are doing it, and your competitors are pricing it. When they put bids out or quotes to their clients, they're including the cost of healthcare. So as a business owner, if you want to recruit the best HR person or the best sales reps or the best account managers or customer service, offer them a great health plan. Keep them healthy. Have them get involved in wellness programs. A lot of companies are, you know, a healthy workforce is a productive workforce. And, you know, education is key to doing that. Communication is key. You have to have a multi-year strategy when you're implementing health insurance to your workforce.
Now, what role would you play in educating the workforce?
I would be involved in every aspect of it. What I mean by that, I'll bring in a team. We'll have benefit counselors that employees can speak with and sit down with. We'll have technology where employees can log in onto their own dashboard and pick their own health plans. If they want to speak with someone, they can call us. But I would be involved in the presentation. So if an employer would like to get all 20 or 30 of their employees in the lunchroom on a Saturday, then we'll come out there and we'll do a presentation. We'll speak to the employees. We'll bring them, you know, some breakfast. We'll do a raffle to get connected because we want them to be involved. The fact of the matter is health insurance has been offered to companies or to employees for 60 plus years, Will, but it needs to be done in a different way. And we're that next generation agency. We're that next generation benefits consultant where we're getting connected and we're getting our hands dirty. No more collecting residual income as a broker or a benefits agent and golfing all day. If you're doing that, you're doing a disservice to your company, to your clients. We're not doing that. First of all, I don't golf, but I like to get dirty. I like to stay involved. And
well, now this is education about the plan. What about education?
Wellness education can be various things. We can bring in chiropractic and acupuncturists to the lunchroom for an hour to talk to employees about chiro and acupuncture. We can bring in, we can encourage employees. Some employers and some clients of ours will offer their employees a $10 gift card to an iWatch if they can verify that they've had a preventive care annual checkup. So it encourages them to get connected. And technology plays a huge part in that because now with an iPhone or an Android, you can have an app that will show you your lab work, your blood work, your physical results. The number of steps you take, yeah. And then employees are connected and they get a, you know, some employers will offer them a $50 card.
Well, what I have discovered is that when people say, I'm leaving, and there's any sort of exit interview, the question, why are you leaving, comes up. And often it's, oh, because I get more money. And I don't believe that's true. What I believe in my conversations with people is I've come to the conclusion that there's only two reasons that people leave. One is there's no more challenge in this business. I have done everything. I don't see any path forward. So there's no more challenge for me. Or, and it could be an and, I don't believe my manager is on my side. I don't believe they're helping me be the best that I can be. Now, I believe that wellness and health care are part of that belief.
I would agree with you, Will. I totally do. You have to know the health of your workforce. You got to know that your employees are involved in their health care. They want to stay healthy. Participate in wellness programs is huge right now. It doesn't cost the company much money to implement a wellness program. It incentivizes the employees to participate in their health care, and it's a chain reaction. They're going to be on time. They're going to work smarter. They're going to stay healthy and avoid workers' comp claims, you know.
So all of the investment in health care and the associated programs is really not a cost. It's an investment that should have a return on it.
Yes, sir. You hit the nail on the head. Your employees are your biggest asset.
Well, your employees are your biggest asset. And like I often tell companies about their clients, that your best client, I tell them, is your competition's best prospect.
Excellent.
And your, I could see how this would be true as well. Your best employee is your competitor's best prospect to hire.
That's beautiful. That's so true because, you know, those headhunters are out there. And if you're good at what you do and you don't do certain things that your competitors are, they're going to steal your employees. Absolutely. I see it happen. I see what I see is one HR team going to another company and working in their HR team. And one of the main reasons, like, Abner, they just didn't offer me much.
And I would resist using the word that my competitor is stealing my employees. Mm. What I would suggest is my employees are vulnerable. And they are moving out because they either don't have a challenge here, we've gotten comfortable, we're in our own comfort zone, and we're not challenging ourselves enough, and or our employees do not feel like their management team is looking out to help them become the best they can be.
They've become complacent. Absolutely. Well, you know, employers need to get more involved. You know, they should, if you don't have a full-time human resource person, then you need to have quarterly meetings with our team. Let our team come in there and talk to your employees on a quarterly basis and tell them about what you do for them. Because the best thing an employer can do is bring in our team and help communicate the value that they provide to their employees in their benefits. Their benefits is more income. People are leaving for more income when they have it on the table there. But they don't know because no one's telling them. They're not being informed on a regular basis. Typically, companies will have open enrollment and that's it. So we stay involved year-round. We're there. We're talking to your workforce year-round. We know when someone has a baby. We know when someone gets married. We know when someone moves. We're connected to that employer.
Well, and this whole notion of wellness, it's not that wellness is just an idea. Because it seems to me, even studying nutrition, a little study that I've done, but I'm fascinated by it right now, that increasingly we're discovering that the amount of advertising coming from food manufacturers is leading us to make poor decisions about what we're eating that's having an impact on our health.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems to me that the kind of awareness that a wellness program can bring is that employees, as human beings, have a lot of ability to make responsible choices as to how they want to be based upon the nutrition that they have.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. It helps them to understand, hey, whoa, maybe I should eat different this weekend, or maybe I should lay off of this or that, because their employer has provided a wellness program to make them aware.
And maybe I should be doing more exercise. Maybe I should be walking more.
Mm-hmm. Walking, and it's good for them. It provides a clear mind for them. It helps them to be more effective, motivated, lights a fire in them. You don't want to get eating incorrectly and not taking care of your health care is a chain reaction as a human. And you're not going to be a productive employee if you're not in touch with your health care. And you don't want to be scared to go to the doctor because you don't know what you have offered to you by your employer. You can be, some employees, believe it or not, are terrified to go to the doctor. So it's because they're uneducated.
And so what this whole offering that I hear from you is how do we move businesses from seeing healthcare as a cost that we want to minimize to healthcare is an investment in my people, and I want to maximize their productivity because of my investment in healthcare.
That's beautiful. Well, I actually would love to be part of that for any company that doesn't or currently does offer health insurance benefits to their employees, to show them the best way to do that and how important it is to do that. That's just that's the new era of employee benefits. That's that next level.
Well, and that really moves beyond just being a benefit. That becomes part of the culture of the business.
Excellent word. Yes, culture. It does. It helps them stay in touch, and you do. You create a culture of healthiness, a culture of I'm in touch with my health care needs. I know how to use my health insurance. the other employees, because one employee will talk to another employee when they have a great experience with the wellness program. Then it becomes a chain reaction. In the same way, if an employee says, you know what, our insurance is horrible, I don't know how to go to a specialist, and I need to see a heart specialist, but I don't know how to do it because I haven't had open enrollment in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be both ways.
And what that once we begin to see how that value begins to create my culture in my business, then I can use those values to help evaluate who I want to hire. I mean, I want to hire people who fit in with my values. And if they don't fit in with my values for caring for each other, for helping everybody to become the best they can be, for using the health care and wellness benefits that we've provided, if they don't want to do that, maybe they're not part, maybe they're not people that we want to hire.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Employers need to look at what fits into their model. What type of employee or what type of talent are you looking for? And typically, that type of talent is going to be reflecting upon your current workforce. So if you're taking care of your current workforce and you're connected with your current workforce, then you're going to recruit that type of person that fits right in. You're not going to have to go through, you know, five managers just to find the right one. You're going to know what you're looking for because you've, again, what you said, you've created a culture.
And then when we hire, we're looking for what I teach people to do in the entrepreneurial operating system is, number one, we want to find people who get what we're doing. They understand it. When they see our culture, they see our values, they identify with them. And once we're convinced of that, the next question is, do they want to do the job that we have available? I mean, are they getting up in the morning saying, I am delighted? Are they like you? Are they saying, I'm having a ball doing this? And then thirdly, do they have the capacity for it?
Yes.
Maybe there's some training that has to happen, but we don't have a 5-mile runway like maybe Edwards Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. We're more like the aircraft carrier. We got to get off the deck quick. But are they capable? Do they get it? Do they want it? And are they capable? GWC.
Yes, sir. I agree. That's the type of workforce you want. It's going to help the company.
So once we have them, then the next job is retaining them. And it seems to me that retention, is, that the healthcare program, not just the benefits, not just the minimums, not just are we compliant, but all those are important. But is our investment in healthcare and wellness benefits and in the program that we're providing, is that seen as an investment in retention?
That's critical. I think retention is key. Absolutely. And the best way to retain and attract employees is offering a investment such as benefits. Health insurance is critical. Retention is the best results from offering your employees the solution of health insurance.
And longevity.
Longevity, absolutely. Keeps them there working 30, 40 years. Because we do represent quite a few companies, and we know when people are laying off, and we know when people are hiring. And right now this market is hiring. There's work for everybody. Construction's up, manufacturing's up. We're working, we're busy. Markets up, as you can see, housing's up. So companies are busy. Businesses are busy, very busy. And my job is to be a resource to those businesses.
All right. Now, one of the things we were talking about earlier is at Gonzales, in the advisory program, we were doing quarterly updates, quarterly workshops. For as other clients who might want to take a look at what we're doing. So as we think about that, sometime this fall, we're going to pick a date that will be sometime this fall, our first quarterly meeting. What would you like to say? What do you think that wellness and healthcare benefits consultant could say to companies?
I would say make the time. Sit down with an advisor. Sit down with your benefits broker. And ask him, what are you doing for me? What are you doing for our company? How are you helping our employees? how is it that I'm providing health insurance and I'm losing all these employees because they're not happy with what coverage they have? And just look at the whole thing. Make the time, because the number one thing is people don't have the time. They don't manage the time properly. I love my days. I make the time. I found out family time is family time, business time is business time. And from a business perspective with your employees and your company, sit down with the benefits advisor. Come check us out. Sit down with me. Let me show you what we can do for you. It won't be the same song and dance. It's going to be that next thing for health insurance.
Well, if people wanted to get in touch with you, Abner, how would they do that?
People can call me, email me. My phone number is 949-439-9045. Again, 949-439-9045. Or they can email me at abner@aids.net. And I'd love to sit down with them. I'll go out there and see them. We'll have lunch, whatever, make something work for them.
Super. Well, I think that we are on the cusp of an enormous increase in productivity in Southern California, and that's the whole point of this radio show, is to help businesses thrive in Southern California. So, Abner, thank you very much for being with us. I look forward to working with you as one of the key members of our advisory team every week about how we can make businesses thrive in Southern California. I look forward to talking with you again on The Pilgrim on the 405.
Been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.